It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Welcome, everybody, to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buttig.
And I'm Greg Ricard.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Rebecca.
How are you?
Nice sweater. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Good. I'm really excited about today's guest.
I am, too.
Because I think a lot of our fellow actors have worked with him. I've worked with him. You've worked with him.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is a director and has directed many of the shows today.
One Life to Live, General Hospital, Young and the Restless. He is a powerhouse soap director.
Yeah.
And our guest is the incredible Owen Renfro, who is also an avid listener of this very podcast.
That's so sweet. He's really sweet. I'm really excited to talk to him, get some stories from behind the scenes.
And also, I'm really excited about hearing the process and sharing that all with you from a director's point of view.
Yeah.
All right.
So stick
around. He'll be with us when we get back.
Welcome our amazing director, Owen Renfro.
Hey, Owen.
Hey, guys.
Owen, I've been telling Greg, I know you said you were going to start, didn't
please,
you? But
please.
I'm starting already because I said, I've worked with Owen. I mean, I've known your name for many, many years. It's a small community, so we know all the directors. But I was like, I swear he directed All My Children. And it's not listed anywhere. And I'm like, but I swear he directed me as Greenlee.
You're right. It was 2001.
Okay.
I had been directing some at One Life to Live and mostly associate directing.
Okay.
And there was a window where Jeannie Daddario Burke, who was executive producer at the time of All My Children, called me and said, would you come down and do a show? And I was thrilled, and I did, and had one of the best days I had had up to that point. It
really?
Was a terrific cast, crew, truly. The energy was great.
Do you remember what we did? Who was I with?
You were with Josh, for sure.
Josh DeMille.
And I remember at the end of the day because I think you guys were like waiting for me to come out at the end and we spoke and we just mutually kind of said, this was so fun.
Yeah. That's why I had such a good feeling about you because I remember that day and everyone's like, no, I don't think he directed All My Children.
Yeah, so, it was there. And
so
I remember.
Then I blamed perimenopause like I do everything else.
I remember that episode also because it was my first time and only time working with Susan Lucci.
Oh.
So I was excited for that. And I took extra time with her scenes, preparing them and everything. And I remember I gave her a bit of business that she loved.
Oh.
And I was so proud of myself and happy.
Do you remember what it
came
was?
Off. It was simple. It was like someone was approaching her for a hug. And instead, she lifted her folders up in front of her like that. And she just kind of laughed and played it really nicely. She was amazing.
That's
it was
awesome.
A great experience.
I always joke around when I'm asked to have business. I'm like, well, good luck, because I can walk or I can talk. But if you want me to do both at the same time, it's your
He's funeral. Not that talented.
Well, that is one of the jobs of the director, is to put you in positions where you can be successful.
Of course.
Sometimes that's with props, sometimes business, some without.
Okay, well, for the audience who I think are just going to be so thrilled to hear your perspective and have you here today, walk us through, and then I want to hear more about your individual journey, but walk us through your process of directing an episode. Because I know it doesn't start the morning of. When do you get your script and what is the homework for you? The way for us, it's looking at the script and memorizing our lines. What does that look like from your side of things?
Well, first you get it about a week ahead of time, you get your script. And the important thing is to know the show, is to understand the characters and know the brand. because that's the context for everything, right? So that's how it looks, how the actors play things, just understand the world. So let's assume you know those things by the time you're doing this. So you get your script, and then it's really reading it through a number of times and beginning to see what it's about and what each scene is about and how it contributes to the overall narrative. And so for me, I'm as I'm reading it, I'm shot listing, and I'm also thinking about emotional blocking that'll help express that. I'm thinking about where this actor, as this character, is successful, how to put them in a good position. You know, I block a scene for Victor Newman differently than for Michelle Stafford, right? And they each bring incredible gifts to what they do, and you have to just, you know, as I said, make them comfortable and to be able to do what's in the script.
And to set them up for success.
Yes, always. And then it's like visually, how can you lift it off the page so it has some punch?
Right.
When is a close-up matter? When is it not? So it's not all samey-samey, you know?
Well, I was going to say, you know, back in the day when you and I had our one episode,
yeah, amazing, yep.
We really had time to rehearse, yes, and really work things out, whereas now you don't necessarily. So you've got to be able to work on the fly. I mean, can you speak to that, how it's evolved over time?
Yes. I think my first day we did 12 items on One Life to Live, my first directing day.
It was one show.
It was one episode.
Yeah.
And now we do a show and a half maybe, and it's 40 items. So that means you, in the same 10-hour period, you have to fit a lot of other pages, as you guys know, you know? So it's just a bit of a streamlined time in terms of blocking, and you know, maybe I don't go out to the floor as much for notes. I go over the essay, which is the loudspeaker, and give a few notes there if necessary, and then you're moving on. Yeah. One take, two takes maybe, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quick.
Do you ever go straight to tape?
When we need to, yes, yes. Yeah. I hate asking for that, but sometimes it's necessary. And sometimes, frankly, we have some actors who are like ready to go. Like, let's do this.
Well,
I'm one of those. Well, you know, particularly when I have scenes where it's emotional or something and I really know it, I may be talking more in the scene than someone else. I'm like, let's just tape it.
Yeah.
Because we can always do it again.
That's how
But sometimes. Let's give it a shot. It's always fun. It's kind of fun, actually, I think, to kind of
There's an excitement to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that makes what we do stand out is the immediacy of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole scene together. It's amazing.
It's amazing. And it feels, I love the adrenaline of it, how because it's so frenetic, how it sort of just, I just feel like I always have a fire lit and I'm ready to go. And it's nerves, it's excitement and all of it. It's just a really fun feeling in my body.
Yeah.
So I don't want to gloss over when you said, when you think about how you'll direct for Michelle or block her in a scene versus Eric, like, do you have that for all of your actors, and what are some specific things?
No, I don't say, I don't categorize them as this or that. It's just a you know, what's needed in this scene. Is Billy Flynn as Kane, is he more stationary or is he restless at this moment? Is he going to, you know, is that character going to want to move? And, you know, and it's all dependent on what the story we're telling is in that scene. And you try and go from there. Yeah. And then you don't want to give somebody too much either. I have picked up many nuggets for which I'm grateful from all of the wonderful daytime directors I've worked with over the years. And there have been so many, and you just learn from one another. It's a great community.
I agree.
And one of the giants, that I learned from at One Life to Live was Jill Mitwell. And I was ADing for her, and we did a scene with Cassie DePaiva.
ADing, for those that don't know, is assistant directing.
Right.
Yeah. So you're following along and
you're queuing everything up. You're telling, you know, making sure the cameras are on the right shots and just counting things down and just teeing it up for the director.
Okay, so I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's
all
right.
I just want to let people know, because, you know,
It's inside
a lot of people
baseball.
Don't know that inside info.
and there was a scene where there was nothing going on. Like we all knew there was nothing much to this scene. And Jill had Cassie moving every single corner of that set, doing this and doing that. And it was beautiful. And she was amazing and wonderful. And we all were like, wow. And she goes, oh, and that's what you do when there's nothing in the scene, no meat to it.
No.
Just give them something to watch.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. So just give her something to do.
That's a good note.
And it's fun for the actor, too, when they know that scene is really not, you know, not particularly exciting.
Right. Yeah. Liven it up.
Yeah, somehow. It does.
So for our audience, you sit in a booth.
Yes.
In between the two stages at Young and the Restless.
Yes.
And you have a direct feed to your, is it three cameras or four?
Four.
Four cameras. And you are speaking directly to the camera operators.
Yes.
And telling them if they're covering it on camera one, camera two, camera three, or camera four.
Yes.
And you have all of that. Is that part of the homework?
That is the homework. I mean, there'll be 500 shots in an episode or in a day. And so you're figuring out when to be where. And it for me, I mean, my filter is what do you want the audience to experience? What do you want them to feel? And what shot, what movement, what blocking best expresses that? Mm-hmm. How do you piece that together so it feels like a unit that is telling the story? So a close-up means something different from a two-shot.
Yeah.
Or a moving shot has a freedom. If there's violence, which we sometimes do, I like to kind of move the camera quickly to feel that rush and that adrenaline. And so there are tricks you pick up and things you've learned that that you apply when you're doing your shot listing. But it's all pre-planned. And I will say, like, where sometimes I work is that's my blueprint. And then I really want to see what the actors are bringing to it and what maybe a cameraman's discovering or woman is discovering and then apply that. Because if you get too rigid with it, you're just missing stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody will be acting up a storm off camera reaction. And we have many actors who are just always active, whether they're on or not.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to them and see what they're playing and be in their experience.
Well, that was something I wanted to ask you. As you're reading the script,
yeah.
if it's Kane saying something to Phyllis,
mm-hmm.
do you imagine as you're reading like, oh, that's once he says this, that's when I want to cut to her to see how she reacts to that? And then, but you still allow the flexibility of, oh no, the way she reacted to the line before is actually even more interesting. And so do you have that in isolation?
Exactly. Yes. And sometimes as we're moving, if I miss something, I'll call out to the PA and say, make sure we're on her for this. That was good. Let's
PA
get
is
it.
A production assistant.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry. I'm over here defining terms. Okay. I'm so excited. I have so many questions. Owen, I have so many questions.
I'm happy to be here.
So you went to college.
Yeah, I did.
Yes. I only went a year and a half. Did you study directing?
I did. So I studied, I went to Wesleyan University
yeah.
and had the good fortune to meet my mentor and good friend, Janine Basinger.
Okay.
Janine is a brilliant, wonderful, incredible human being and rich, rich teacher who learned about film being an usher in South Dakota and watching the same movie over and over again as a 9-year-old, growing older and older. And what she learned is how the audience responds to what's happening on the screen. So her whole method of teaching at Wesleyan was how is the director guiding the audience? And then you learn what the tools are to do that work, right? Everything about it. And so we watched 8 movies a week from the classic, you know, from the 20s to the 50s, 60s, project them ourselves when there wasn't someone there. It was very intense, all with her guiding hand. And she has written many great books and so we have a little bit of we call it the Wesleyan Mafia out here because there's many of us who have found success in this business all from her teachings, which I use every day at work. She's amazing. So
then
that was
how do
my
you
experience.
Land in soap operas?
Ah, yes. So
that's really interesting. Did you direct other things before?
I did.
I
did really was short films before I did that. Mm-hmm. My student film was distributed. They gave me some money from that distribution, so I made another one, and that film got seen by somebody at ABC Daytime. And they said, we'd like to bring you in to train as an AD towards directing. And I was like, yes. And then once I got my feet in this world, I really recognized and appreciated that there is there's something great about working at the volume we do. You get better faster. And working in a community of artists, as we do, we just learn from one another.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really nice. People call it a family. I prefer just a close community of creative people. And and then the hours are great, of course. We talked about this beforehand, the balance in our lives. We have families.
Families.
It's so important to me.
Not traveling all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Anyway, so I got my feet wet in and I quickly realized like this is a great place to be. And You know, my sister controlled the television set after school for some years there when I was young. Right. And so we watched General Hospital. We watched Luke and Laura. And so I had a little taste of it there and saw many famous episodes and kind of got it. And then my early, early years, I sang opera. Yes, in New York with the Metropolitan.
Are you serious?
For 4 years in the children's chorus.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yes.
Did you grow up in New York City?
New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Englewood, yeah.
That's right, yes.
And my parents, my dad was an amateur opera singer. My mom played piano, so there was always music in the family. And we sang, my sister and I sang at the Met for 4 years, right on 66th Street. And so that was, like, I worked with Franco Zeffirelli and, like, amazing directors there. Not knowing I would one day do this, but I definitely got a sense of staging and music and, you know, how to combine the elements. And so that's the opera part of soap opera that I do, you know?
Wow.
That's fascinating.
I didn't know that. You want to sing something for us?
No, I don't. I left it. I'm done.
Wait, so, but when you got to Wesleyan, did you know that the path for you was to be involved in film and television or specifically directing, or were you just casting the net wide?
I really didn't. I didn't. I knew I was okay singer, but not enough to do it professionally and didn't enjoy performing. I'm a terrible actor. All of the actors on our show will tell you that if I'm doing lines with them, I'm just overacting. So that was out. I thought anthropology, English, something like that. But then I discovered the storytelling aspect of film and TV that I really responded to. And again, just bringing the elements of photography and music and movement and working with actors, but I love.
Did you take an acting class because you felt like
yes.
There are those directors who I think have had some sort of acting class or something where they've been exposed to that because they talk a different way than the directors that haven't.
Yeah.
And you felt like to me, like a, you know, an actor's director.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm still learning so much. But I hope so. I did take some acting classes in college and post. But I also, you know, during those years before I got into soaps, I recognized that I really wanted to get better at my craft. And so I directed play readings at libraries here in LA, just anything to kind of build muscle strength, because I knew that was like something I hadn't had a lot of training in. Mm-hmm. And even when I think of the early days of directing, how generous the actors I worked with were with me, because I would talk to Tony Geary for, you know, 3 minutes. He'd be like, just tell me fast or slow or whatever. He was so sweet. But, you know, you learn by doing it.
Yeah.
And now it's recognizing where I can help and where to just support and stay out of the way. And sometimes helping is just a small thing. And sometimes it's a larger conversation when you really need to make a turn.
Do you find, first of all, I don't want to gloss over the fact that your name has come up many times on the show because you have such passion and enthusiasm for what you do. It is clear, it is apparent. And having had the opportunity to work with you, I would always like doing something that was what you were thinking or different than what you were thinking, but something that you liked, seeing that recognition from you was always very, very satisfying. So I just wanted to say that. But my question
was— I love
was,
working with you and you—
Likewise,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But my question was, do you find, like, is it the younger actors that you say need a little more guidance rather than maybe someone who's more established that you just stay more out of the way? Or are there some actors that like a little more handholding, whether they've been there for 5 minutes or 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, it's both. It's really, it's the younger actors sometimes need that kind of guidance, but you know, you have to know when not to overwhelm and interrupt kind of maybe what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And some of the more seasoned actors, they just might need an invitation to take a risk. Mm. That's it. Sometimes, like, let's mix it up. Let's challenge in this way or whatever
it is,
because they know what they're doing. Please, I'm not going to tell them anything about their character they don't know. Mm-hmm. But in this particular scene, maybe we need to push more. Maybe we need to manipulate more. Maybe we need to change the tactic, or I don't know. I mean, Honestly, they really know what they're doing. Sure. It's just a matter of making them comfortable and finding the moments.
So do you have any stories for us?
What do you want to know?
I just want to know, like, if there's any actor that really stood out to you, any scenes, any particular episode that you...
One episode of All My Children you directed, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, that one for sure. But aside from my episode, no, but really, what moments do you have any that really stick out for you that you could share with us?
I mean,
us,
there's
that
a lot.
The fans
there's
might really like to
hear. Of course a lot. I know it's come up on this show. We did the episode with
Mel
and Peter. Where
Melody Thomas Scott and Peter Bergman from Young and the Restless.
Yes.
Yeah. Standalone
where
episode.
Jack and Nikki are in this hotel room trying to save each other, really. And
you directed that.
Yes. And I mean, that's a case where I both tried to stay out of the way and also, you know, kind of support where I could. And in that particular episode, Mel and I would talk a lot about what level of drunk is she? Is she at a 2 or a 5 or a 6? We had shorthands for where we would do it. And Peter was just marvelous. I mean, in fact, there were I remember some scenes with Peter, one scene in particular with Peter where I had a whole elaborate plan of shooting it in a certain way. And when I saw what he was doing, I said, no, just keep it on him and just go into close-up. Just slowly move into close-up. Because it's all playing beautifully.
Yeah.
And Mel's fearlessness. I mean, really, you guys know. Playing drunk for 6 acts.
Oof.
I mean,
rough.
And the levels to that,
yeah.
You know, that aren't false.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was remarkable.
Oh, she's great at that.
Yeah. Look, I've been so privileged and blessed to work with some incredible. I mean, Eric Braeden has done some beautiful, beautiful work. And Eileen Davidson, of course, and, yeah. You know, I mean, and then Maurice Bernard back on GH and those types, and Tony and Jeannie, and it's been pretty incredible.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Hey, parents. We all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
A lot of actors on the show talk about mentoring younger actors.
Yeah.
And what's been very exciting for us is to see our pal, Elizabeth Hendrickson.
Yes.
Little Lizzie.
Make the transition from
great.
Actor on Young and the Restless to now director. And what has your role been in her journey?
Less than she would portray. I mean, look, I say that only because she deserves all the credit.
Yes.
No one's being kind and giving you a show. The stakes are very high. The pressure's high. She has earned every single episode she's getting and continues to. So early on, I think we talked a lot about just the technical aspects. She knows actors. She knows blocking. That's coming beautifully with her. So it was just getting the technical and inviting her again to like take risks and bring her voice to it. First, you have to conquer the fundamentals, so you understand the base that mm-hmm. you're working from. And then after that, just like move them and flow and find your voice within it. And she's doing that.
Yeah.
It's so intense. It's hard work. For those that don't know, I mean, I've only been in the booth, you know, a couple of times. It's just, but it feels like intense because the director's going, one, yeah, two. Yeah. I mean, they all have their different things. Some tap the table. Some tap their paper.
Do you snap?
But I do both. I snap like, and I hit a pen.
They're telling you which camera to go to. But you have to keep your eyes on it because someone may do something and you got to change course.
Yes.
Which means the cameramen and women both have to be on their toes too.
Yeah, always.
Do you have?
But that's what it deserves.
Yeah.
And you have to have a good relationship with them because there are some camera people like, oh.
Yes.
I don't know what they want. Like talking to their headset saying, I don't know what they're doing.
And then
that's important to me, that relationship. I love those people.
Do you ask them, is there anything you need from me ever?
Well, sure. Like, how can I describe this better? How can you, what can we do to get this? Because mm-hmm. they're, you know, they're storytellers, all of them, from back in One Life to Live cameramen to GH to here. Mm-hmm. It's like, they want to be part of it.
Well, that's my favorite thing about this is just that we collaborate. It's all of us are on the same page. We have the same goal. And again, you develop relationships because we work together for so long. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm. True.
I was going to ask, do you
what are you smiling about, Owen?
No, it's all true.
Do you have sets that you prefer to work in than other sets?
Sure. Probably, yeah. I mean, look, we've got a beautiful ranch house set for the Newmans, which invites great blocking and movement. Also, the Abbott living room is classic. We just redesigned that a couple of years ago and came out wonderfully. The set decoration department is amazing. And the lighting, it's really great. So I guess I like that. I mean, I honestly, you had a great set and All My Children, I remember.
All My Children had great sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was an apartment or something we worked in.
I had a great apartment. Loved Greenlee's apartment. I had Versace dishes.
You did?
Oh yeah. That's when we spent money.
Yes. I know. So I like the places that feel lived in and you can move around and
they really feel true to the character too. Like my place did. Yeah. But I do find the directors struggle when the set sometimes they have these little limbo sets, these sets that are like my office, for instance, at Bold and Beautiful, it's in a corner,
right?
You know, and so it's just hard for the cameraman to get around and stuff. So it becomes tricky for blocking and stuff. So you kind of just stand in there talking.
You have your limitations and that's what we do. And you guys are amazing at them. We'll say, okay, you know, do this one page over there. And then on this line, turn that way. Find a reason to turn that way.
Yeah.
And you guys find it.
I'm always really helped by blocking in the morning because once I have it like, oh, this is the line where I turn and move. Not only does that help, the memorizing where the movement is also helps with the memorization of the lines for me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know, just something in my process.
Well, and it also helps like, propel the line too.
You know, Doug Davidson worked differently in that when we did blocking in the mornings, he would want the blocking before we said the lines. So we would sit with the script and he'd say, hey, Owen, tell me when you want me to move to the window. Tell me when you want me to sit down. Tell me like all those things. And then he incorporated that in his blocking and that really helped him kind of play the scene.
Yeah.
But I also narrate as I'm blocking. I mean, Amelia gives me smiles and looks all the time and she moves over here because she's running away from the feelings of, you know, she's like, all right, Owen, you know.
Hilarious.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love Amelia.
Yeah. Amelia's the best. We're doing something fun where we have a hotline this season. It's on our Instagram page where fans are writing in with questions.
Oh, great.
And I think we have some fan questions, right?
We do. What other work are you involved in outside of entertainment?
Okay. So outside of entertainment, I don't know if this applies, but I have mentored some college students that's kind of within work, but to see what I do and to talk to them about it. I'm going back to Wesleyan in a few weeks to speak.
Do you do that on the regular?
Here and there. Great. I mean, I do that every year. I host some because it's the right thing and it's kind of the culture.
Paying it forward, sure.
Yeah. Outside, I mean, I have many, many interests. But
what are your interests? I want to know.
Right now, I'm really into English soccer.
Oh, okay.
I'm just watching it a ton.
Just Premier League or?
Yeah, Premier League, Championship, all.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really into it.
Do you watch MLS too?
No, not yet. And then the kids, whatever they're into. Yeah. I have two daughters who are amazing. And and just kind of making sure that I'm there and curious and supportive and all that.
How long does it take you to do one script? Do you direct one show a week or do you direct more than, because we have some
depends.
Directors that
yes. I mean, direct I have, more than once. I'm doing, it depends, between one and two a week. Uh-huh. And the script could take a day and a half between reading it, blocking it, you know, looking ahead and behind, or it could take uh-huh. 3 days. We did on General Hospital a shoot at MoMA with James Franco years ago, which was like a 24-hour shoot. And that
downtown.
And that took probably a full week of blocking with many cameras. And it was kind of incredible, insane thing. And I've done, you know, Y&R. We did stuff at Griffith Park.
It took the carousel time. Stuff? Were you
the
there?
The carousel
for that?
Stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's.
We worked and there were mirrors everywhere, right?
Was yeah.
Stuff with. With Lauren and Sheila Carter, and are we going that far back?
No, okay. Not for me. I think I'm thinking the carousel on GH, oh, okay. which we did one too. But it just depends on the script because you know the work is the same. You're assigned a script. You don't know what you're getting,
right?
And then you read it and discover it. And
you've got the big party scene.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Lucky you.
18 people movement. And you
oh
know.
My God.
Do you and Josh Griffin, who's the head yes. writer, exec producer at Y&R, does he have any input collaboratively with your choices or does he?
Well, yes. I mean, we have a great, I love working with Josh because he's always challenging me with something great like that wonderful episode and many others. And he's so open to, like we did this episode with Sharon where she has to get rid of Heather's body. Oh. I don't know. It's a big show. Yeah. And she drags her onto a bridge and, you know, he thinks cinematic. And I love that. Like, let's do it. Let's figure out how we can sell that in a studio. So he's great. And also now we have Sally McDonald as our co-exec producer. Yeah. And she's an amazing partner because she's a wonderful director herself.
She directed for decades.
Yeah. And then, yeah. She's top notch. Yeah. And
that's
she's
so
been
cool.
a great partner.
So when you say, okay, we're going to take this body and have it thrown off a bridge.
Yeah.
What is that? What is imagining that? How does that go from your mind and Josh's idea?
I think
the
script had her bringing the body, it's all wrapped, onto a bridge and then pushing it over. So how the heck do we do that? So we figured out how to miniaturize it so that the bridge is, you know, just a 12-foot length.
Is it a bridge like
in the studio?
No, yeah. I'm saying, but it, like a, that you would be driving on and then
no,
you get
well,
out of
the car?
Or
so we shot it in pieces. Uh-huh. So we shot the car and the headlights as one plate and then we shot the bridge as one plate. Then we went out to a location and shot video of like a bridge. I think it's in Culver City.
Okay.
And we married the two together. We built the set bridge to look like the bridge on location. And then we just did it in pieces. And it was so fun. And we had the lens way back at one end of the studio. So we had like a 100-foot throw. And
do you like,
and that's Josh.
Do you like going outside?
Love it. Any chance we can, even if it's the parking
just
lot.
Just the parking lot?
Yeah.
Even if
yeah.
it's just the parking
when we
lot.
First, when we first started doing it, I had such a hard time acclimating to if there was a bird chirping or like something overhead because
right.
it's such a controlled environment when you're on a soundstage. And then they'd be like, no, go with it. If there's a bug that flies through the scene, that's real life. And I'm like, yeah. Okay.
See, again,
this is new.
Yeah.
One trick pony.
Oh, right.
Yes. One trick pony, single threat, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
We did on General Hospital, we did an episode early 2000s with Nicholas on top of a office building with a helicopter.
Wow.
And I mean, it was huge, huge stuff. And the audio was just a nightmare. And that's something you don't really consider when you're putting all this together. But the actors, we had more voice, you know, over and over again.
And was this Tyler Christopher?
Yes.
Who speaks so
yes.
low. Oh, God.
And
bless
Natalia
him.
Livingston
yeah,
is in
oh
a helicopter
Natalia,
looking
you can,
out. And,
you can barely, she is so soft-spoken and so sweet.
The wind whipping
oh,
everywhere.
My gosh,
and it was
that's
very
amazing.
Exciting.
Yeah. I have one question mm-hmm. that we now have been asking. Why do you think people should be watching soaps right now?
Okay. So for me, soaps are, it's back to that immediate thing. So every day is new. Every day's a new day. They're really, I mean, repeats if you want to watch the streaming over and over again, but you're living a parallel life with these characters if you're watching them. Mm-hmm. And you really get to chart their growth and their movement and everything else. And that's like nothing else on television. 250 episodes a season, a year. So there is, you know, and most of it's a portion of a day. So you really get to go through weddings with these characters over many, many years. There's nothing else like it. 20, 30, 40 years. I think Mel's been on the show 40-something years now. 40-something
years, yeah.
That's remarkable. Incredible. You know. So that's a relationship that the audience builds with someone that's very special. I mean, fans follow you from show to show to see, yes, each of you. I mean, they really do. And that's special. Like, no one else has that, I think.
And I, yes, that's a great way to put it. And it's, I know, also because it is every day and it's not once a week where you're just sort of escaping your life at the end of your day, they do, our audience really does feel like they are, that we are a part of their lives in a way that is very unique. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
We feel more familiar than like, typical.
Okay.
And I want to say that what you guys are doing is fantastic. And
this show
really celebrates our genre and the way you are with each of your guests, kind of just celebrating what they do and honoring the hard work that it takes. People don't know how hard this work is. Mm-hmm. You guys have to memorize tons and be nimble and flexible. And anyway, you're bringing that into the room and to the audience. And that's remarkable. I haven't seen that done.
Thank you for saying that.
Thank you.
We love the genre. We love talking about it and celebrating it. And so we're honored that you're here. You're not done yet.
Just a couple more.
Is that a wrap-up comment?
No, just a couple more.
We've been doing a fun thing where I hate to say
we just started it. Yeah.
ChatGPT comes up with some damn good questions.
Kind of interesting. Seriously, it's going to be Computer Greg and Computer Rebecca
Let's hear it a little bit.
I have one. I've got one right here. Have there been any improvements technologically over the course of your career that has made your job easier?
Yes. So when I first started, you would shoot a scene and it would go on to literally tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
D2s, they were called. It would be recorded on D2. And then when you went to the edit, you would have to edit the show laying down the scenes in tape. So you would lay one scene, and then if it was, let's say, prologue one was in the GCAC or something, and prologue B was in the coffee house, you would then lay the coffee house down. If you wanted to make a change to the first scene, you had to go back, erase the second scene, and do it. So it was a very cumbersome process. Now we're all digital. It's much easier to edit.
Yeah.
It's kind of a boring answer in that way, but that has the biggest impact.
Oh, wow.
And also when you're shooting, you know you can go to a different camera if you need to. We didn't used to have that.
Oh, yeah.
But the lenses, they've improved. Lighting's kind of the same. It's always been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically.
Well, yeah. I mean, depends on the show.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's the other AI question. What's one subtle directing choice you wish viewers would notice more often?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And once they see it, they'll never not see it.
A directing choice.
You wish viewers would notice more often.
Okay. Thank you for that question. I'm most proud of a scene when a director uses the camera, the performance, and the blocking in one take, one scene. Not necessarily a oneer, but is really stretching the movement. You know, foreground to background to extras, to the camera maybe moving in a subtle way, to an actor being very emotional in the scene, but also knowing exactly where to turn, the eye lines just right. Like when those things come together, it's beautiful. And it's not by accident. It's just practice and volume over and over again. And so I wish like that moment may be given to the character or something, but there's a lot of things contributing to creating that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah. Let's say that.
Do you, because I know from our perspective, I've had days when I leave my job and I'm so proud of the work that I got to do under the restraints that we are under with time.
Right.
And with the constraints that we have, do you ever have to sort of move on from something, even if it's not quite right? Or do you really try to get it right before you go?
You always try and get it right before you go. I mean, if you fight for something that's you know is really important. They're going to work with you on that and give you the time. But yeah, you've had to. I have a graveyard of great shots and great scenes and notes not given and clumsy notes given. And you're like, oh, you know, God, I really pulled in the wrong direction. Let's go back. And, you know, so the gift is we get to do it again.
Yeah,
it's like bad hole in golf.
You know
you go to the next one.
It's the art of letting go.
Yeah, right.
You really get to practice the art of letting go because there are scenes where, you know, there's just not a lot of time. You just can't go back and do it again.
Yeah.
And also sometimes.
Right, okay, let it go, flush it, move on.
Tomorrow's a new day.
Also, it's probably easier for us, but letting go a choice that you thought you wanted to make that you didn't quite land or, because sometimes where it goes is surprising and perfectly suited for the moment, even if it's different from what you had imagined.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
And I always ask an actor, you know, if you want another one, certainly ask for it.
Yeah.
You may not always get it, but ask because, you know.
That's why I really pride myself on being efficient. I like to go to tape if they ever ask me to, so that I build up the equity so that if there is a time I'm struggling, I feel like I've earned the second take.
Mm-hmm. Very smart, Greg. Yeah. Yeah. So, and some actors, you guys know, like they're good the first couple takes. And then after that, it's, you know, the
diminishing returns.
The muscle's built differently. You know, everyone has a different process.
Also, that always, something I always am amazed when people say, oh, how you can memorize all these lines and whatnot. I'm amazed at watching film actors the way I don't think I would be great in a fourth, fifth, third take even.
Oh my God, 30th.
We're just trained.
I'd be like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But we're Kubrick. Just trained to be able to do it. Right out the gate.
No one is better. I had a studio executive who's an old friend come up to me and say, we have three movies out starring three actresses from soaps. Yeah. And I was like, that's true. That's amazing. You love their training, right? And he was like, yeah, they're incredible. All of them. So there it is. Yeah. I mean,
Amanda Seyfried, she's
one of them. Yeah.
Well, yeah. She was one of my children.
Were you at YNR when Coppola was shadowing?
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing?
That was amazing. And
were you in the booth with him?
Yes.
He Why don't you tell everybody
phenomenal.
About that?
Yeah. So
Francis Ford Coppola.
Francis Ford Coppola came to YNR. It's like a story.
For 2 weeks, right?
For longer, for like a month, Greg. And he wanted to study the work, particularly of how we just... You know, he loves Playhouse 90, right? The old episodes where they would do basically a movie only shot in a studio. There are some wonderful ones too. Anyway, he came to study it, multi-camera editing. It's been his dream to make a feature film that's live. Mm-hmm. He wants to cut something live. And so he came and watched all of us and he had him direct a couple of scenes and everyone was like a little nervous and... But he was so generous, told many, many stories, super smart, and definitely taught me to be fearless in some instances. And I remember he got very
this is so cool.
He got very restless with our over the shoulders. We always do two people at a coffee table. You're gonna go 1-3, 1-3, and he's like, Owen, come on, move him around, like do something. And so I remember doing an episode. Where I was like, I'm going to try that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to move them around. I'm going to stay wide when I should be tight. And I did. And I remember the executive producer at the time, Jill Fern Phelps, who's amazing.
I love Jill.
And a good friend. She said, Owen, what the heck were you doing on this show? She called me from the edit. And I said, well, I was just, you know, inspired by. She's like, no, stop that. Like, shoot a soap opera for us. You do it well. Like, that's enough.
He you were was doing great. Your Francis Ford Coppola episode.
Never.
I remember being on set when he was there, and it was right after the character of Delia died.
Yeah.
And who was Liz Hendrickson, who plays Chloe? It was her daughter. And she was, you know, very emotionally wrought in these scenes. And he gave her the note to play against everything that was written.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating because it's also... That's real life. You know, when you are emotional, you're trying to keep it in and keep it down. And she took the note beautifully and it was a great note. And I love that she got noted by Francis Ford Coppola.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
And pretty great of him to recognize what we do and
and
how both difficult but amazing it is, you know. I mean, it's pretty great to do a feature film in one day.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
with, wow.
stretching it as best we can.
Oh, it's the greatest. Greatest jobs in the world, aren't they?
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
So grateful you're here.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just adore you.
Thank
really,
you
really happy
so
to see you.
Much
I'm so grateful
for coming.
Of course. It's good to see you both again
thank
and
you.
Do this.
All right.
And I wish you the best with it.
Thanks.
Thank
thanks.
You.
Well,
thank
you can watch Owen's brilliant work daily on CBS's Young and the Restless or on Paramount Plus. You can watch. And you can watch these episodes on CBS, on the CBS YouTube channel or listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
On a new season of SkyMed.
I need fluids and an ambulance standing by.
The crew balances new responsibilities, new rescues, and new recruits.
We take care of our own. Clear?
Clear.
SkyMed, new season, now streaming on Paramount+.